Like, as soon as you step up here, the moisture just gets sucked out of your mouth. Got to do something about that. All right. As you guys know, pastor's out of town, so be praying for him. He's preaching. It's kind of a vacation, but he's still preaching. So pray that he gets some relaxation out of this and that he's being able to be a blessing to the churches that he's preaching at, I think this morning and tonight. So be in prayer for him with travel and everything as well. I want to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I started this off as a lesson as I was studying, and then as it progressed, it turned more into a sermon. So it's going to be a little bit a mixture of both here this morning. But 1 Thessalonians 5, and I'm going to read a very familiar passage and probably study on something that you guys are well-adversed in and know a lot about. But nonetheless, we're going to read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. It says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Let's pray. Father, we are a needy people, and we need you this morning. We think of pastor being out of town and doing the same thing we're doing here, preaching your word and trying to edify the saints. And I pray that you would be in the midst of us here, and that there you just get me out of the way, because we're the only people that can hinder you from doing something. And so I pray that we would step aside and let your Holy Spirit work here this morning. I think in the next service with my dad preaching, I pray that you bless him as well. And think of all the little kids in the back, and sometimes we take for granted that they're getting the truth, but we thank you so much for good teachers back there that are teaching them the good doctrine and good applications there. Pray that you bless them and fruit for their labor. And I pray that you just be with us here as well. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. As I'm talking, turn to Romans chapter 1. And you guys obviously all know, you know, in everything give thanks. We know we're supposed to give thanks. And so often we don't. Part of it is just a lack of remembrance. And we don't think to give thanks to God. But I want to point out something here, in that you guys have probably all seen. If you guys have come to this church very much, you guys have seen this verse and you guys know what it means. But you guys know what Romans chapter 1 is about. You've got some wicked, abominable things in here. You got sodomy and a whole list of sins toward the end of the verses 28 through 30. You've got a whole list of just abominable sins that are all worthy of death and hell. But I want to point out, like I said, you guys have seen this before, but in verse 21, it starts off, all these lists start off with, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened." And so we know we're supposed to be thankful, but many times we're not. And it's a scary thought to think that the first step into probably the most abominable sin mentioned in the entire Bible, it says it started off because they glorified God, him not as God, and they weren't even thankful. And I just want to talk about two things here this morning. First off, I want to talk about we need to give thanks for every bad situation. And that's how normally 1 Thessalonians 5:18 is applied, and it's a good application. So we're going to talk about that here this morning. But reasons why we should, you know, we're Americans. We like to know why. We're humans. We like to know why. When my mom told me to do something, I didn't ask her, but I really, okay, but why are you telling me to do this? Well, the nice thing about the Bible is sometimes it doesn't tell you why. But here's some whys of why you should give thanks in bad situations, other than just the Bible just flat out tells you to. But we should give thanks in bad situations because we can't see the big picture. I want to turn to Psalm 136. Psalm 136. This is the God of the Bible that mainstream Christianity doesn't know. You guys know Psalm 136. Every verse in the entire chapter ends with, "For his mercy endureth forever. Oh, praise ye the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." Go through there, they parted the Red Seas. Why? Because his mercy endureth forever. He does all these things. "Who giveth food all flesh, because his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto God," the last verse of the chapter of heaven, "for his mercy endureth forever." So we're talking about a merciful God here. But look at verse 10. "To him that smote the Egyptians in their firstborn." Why? "For his mercy endureth forever." We say, how is it possible that a holy God could kill the firstborn of an entire nation and then say that the reason for that is out of mercy. How could it be? Well, because the Egyptians don't know the big picture. They didn't see Pharaoh tempting God and refusing to let the people go. And you got to give thanks. Don't mistake God's judgment for his mercy. It says, according to Psalm 136, verse 10, that him killing the firstborn was not out of judgment. I mean, it was a combination of judgment and mercy. But according to that verse, it says that was merciful for God. And you ought to give thanks to God because of his mercy, and you don't see the big picture. I like the story of Joseph, but it kind of bothers me in a sense because Joseph is nothing like me. And obviously, you know, as Bible believers, we read through the Bible, and if someone's not like us, that bothers us because we know we're supposed to be like him, but we're not. Joseph gets sold into slavery. He's betrayed by his brethren. If that wasn't bad enough, they wanted to kill him. And one of the brothers stepped up and said, no, we shouldn't. So he gets sold into slavery for money and gets lied about, Potiphar's wife, the old bat, and, you know, gets that whole thing. He gets thrown in prison. That would have been bad enough, but then he tells an interpretation to the baker and the butler. All right, finally, I'm going to get out. Well, they forget about him for about 2 years. Man, God, what is going on? I don't see why I should give thanks in this. Well, if you were to zoom that entire scenario out, God has this whole plan he's weaving through, and it's just that Joseph couldn't see it. And there's no indication that Joseph ever complained. But you're supposed to give thanks to God. Why? Because we can't see the big picture. You realize that through Joseph's trials and tribulations, through that whole ordeal, he saved an entire nation from starvation, including his own family. You say, God, what are you doing in my life? I think about the Stuarts in Norway. God, what are you doing? I'm trying to do your will. He preached the message about this. But God, what are you trying to do in my life? How am I supposed to give thanks? Well, if nothing else, give thanks because you don't know why you're going through that. There's a bigger picture than just your 70 years here on earth. Your whole entire life could be for one purpose and say, God, you put me through so many things during my life. Why is that? Well, it's because you're not the only Christian. You're not his only child that he's taking care of. He's got other things going on that, hey, I need you for this specific purpose. And to get gold, you got to go through a refining fire. And sometimes that's why we ought to give thanks. It's just because we can't see the big picture. Another reason we should give thanks is found in John 11, verse 4. Turn over there, John 11. So I got to warn you, half of this lesson is negative, half of this is positive. So if you guys go through the first half, which is going to be quite a bit longer than the second half, you guys can get it to the positive. John chapter 11, verse 4. When Jesus heard, this is talking about Lazarus, he heard that he was sick, even unto death. And it says, when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Another reason you should give glory to God, should give thanks to God in every bad situation, is because it gives him glory. And that, this, like I said, this is not, I'm not up here teaching this with a big smile on my face, because this is a trial that you're going through. And you say, how am I supposed to thank God? Well, I think it's just because God gets glory out of it, if nothing else. Think about Martha. And Martha gets a lot of flack for a lot of stuff, but really, you guys, think about this. Her brother just died. And the only person that could keep him alive purposely stayed away so that he would die. It's just that, God, if you would have been here, my brother had not died. And you just think of the anger, and you know, put yourself in that situation. Your brother dies. Jesus could have come over and stopped him from dying. No one died in his presence. God, you could have stopped this. And you know how he responds to her. So this is for the glory of God. It's not unto death. The whole death, sure, he died, but the whole reason this is taking place is so I can get some glory. You ought to be thanking me. This is the mercies of God. Give thanks to God because it's for his glory. You say, I would never do that. Think about our life. You talk to God and you say, you know, you could have avoided this trouble that I'm in. You could have spared so-and-so from that bad health. You didn't have to give me diabetes. You didn't have to give Ian and Brother Vlad cancer. You didn't have to do that. And there's that still small voice that says, all right, but give thanks. It's glorifying to me. And the reason is, too, you don't know the big picture. You don't know why he's doing it. So give thanks. In everything, give thanks. It says it's the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Give thanks because it gives glory to him. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 7. And you guys know this. Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproaches and necessities, and persecutions, in distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. This is Christ talking. He says, when you're weak, I'm strong. He said, God, you've made me weak. You've crippled me. You've given me a thorn in the flesh. This is Paul. I believe it was his eyesight. He talks to other Christians. He says, you've seen how large a letter I've written unto you. I believe that's because it's poor eyesight. He says, this is a true thorn in the flesh. God, it's not even for a vain reason. He says, do you know how much more I could do for you if I didn't have this thorn in the flesh? I could travel by myself. I wouldn't have to carry another brother along. I could do so much more for you if you just took this thing away. And he had to sit there and say, well, if you're not going to take it away, all right, then I'll glory in it. I'll thank you. Why? I'm going to glory in this, the very thing that Satan used to try to buffet me and try to put me down, that very thing I'm going to turn around and I want to give glory. Why? Because that very thing is the thing that can give glory to God. Because when I'm weak, then he can be made strong. So give thanks. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God. We ought to give thanks through tribulation and trials, because flat out, it just gives glory to God. God gets glory out of his children, thanking him through the tribulations. Another thing is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, just a couple pages back. Verse 9. Now I rejoice, not that ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance. For ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye may receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance. Sometimes it takes a trial in your life to bring you down to your knees. I wish it didn't. I wish that we could all, like it says in Romans 2:4, I wish that it was always the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. But sometimes it says that godly sorrow leads you to repentance. You know, instead of getting mad at the preacher or getting mad at the Holy Spirit for always pounding you about something, it ought to bring you to tears if the Holy Spirit does not touch you about something. It ought to scare the living daylights out of you if you can go through an entire month, week, or even a year of preaching and never get touched by anything and never get chastened by the Lord. That ought to scare you to death. The worst prayer that the Lord can answer for you is for you to ask him to just leave you alone. If he answers that prayer, you are up the creek without a paddle. You are done for. You need his chastening. You know why I chasten my little girl? Because I love her to death. I do. I love that little girl. I do not want her to grow up a little brat. I don't want her to grow up disrespecting her parents, not just because it's me, but because how she treats her parents, there's an authority there. That's how she's going to treat God. You can't respect an authority that you can, so you're not going to respect an authority you can't. I do it because I love her. You guys that are parents, 90% of you guys that are in here are parents. You know why you chase it. I thank my mom and my dad for spanking me. That sounds weird. But I do. Why? Because if they hadn't, you know what? I would definitely not be in church right now. I know I wouldn't be because I know who I am. But because they loved me and chastened me, man, that brings me to tears because I realized, man, you know how hard it was for them to do that? Do you know how hard it is? I mean, I'm a new parent. I'm only a year into this parent thing. It's hard to spank a child, okay? It's extremely hard. My wife is better at it than I am. I think it's because it's a little girl, so you have that daddy syndrome, so where the little girl gets hurt, you just got soft spot in you, you know, that pressure point? I can't do it. Like, I have to force myself to do it. And it's hard. But I love her. And you ought to be thankful for a God who will chasten you. You ought to be thankful for someone who will take you aside and look, son, you're doing something wrong. This is abominable. I hate this. It's not because you personally, but this is my law. And if you transgress my law, I hate that. You're doing something that the very sins that I died for, you're doing. And I can't stand it. You got to give thanks to a God who will chasten you, to a God who loves you that much. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you shall perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. In context with this, you know that includes chastening. That thing that he hath begun, he's going to continue to do. He's going to continue to perform. Work out your own salvation. He's going to continue to work on you. Brother Buckman preached on it when he was here. But there's an element of the Christian life that he's going to continue to work on you. And part of that working is not just unloading blessings on you by the truckful. Part of that is going to be some chastening. And everything give thanks. Why? Because it'll lead you to repentance. Sometimes the chastening of the Lord is nothing more than getting you back where you need to be. And now it also has other applications, but you know, when your car tire goes flat, was the first reaction trying to not curse? Or is it, you know, well, what are you trying? Are you trying to get a hold of me? Is this a judgment? Or is this just something I have to go through? But you got to give glory and thanks to God, because that leads to repentance. Let's stay in 2 Corinthians for a little bit. Turn to chapter 4. And as a Christian, through, I say persecution, but our version of persecution is nothing to be compared to what true persecution is. You realize this is Paul the Apostle, who had over 100 stripes just whipped on him. So when we say persecution, it's not, I don't even think persecution is the right word, because we don't go through anything like this. But in tribulation and trials, give thanks to God because of verse 17. 2 Corinthians 4:17. For our light affliction, and light is the right word to use there, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. You can give thanks to God because no matter what you're going through, it's only temporary. Brother Vlad had to go through cancer. Ian is going through cancer right now. He's going through the recovery stage of it. Man, talk about a long haul. That's got to be hard. Think about Jenny. Man, that's got to be hard to lose a husband. I don't care how old you are. I mean, but to have that good spirit, that's got to be hard. But it's only temporary. She's going to see him again. Give thanks to God. And everything give thanks. Why? Because it's only temporary. You're going to see that loved one again. That trial that you're going through today might last another 5 years. Think about Brother Gip and Brother Keel. I'm glad he's not here because I wouldn't want to embarrass him. But man, think about years and years. I don't even know how long they've been in pain. I had a little pain the other night. All I needed was my back cracked. And I was good. But I mean, man, I couldn't crack it. I was tweaking it and I was in pain. I mean, I think every time I'm in pain like that, I mean, how do they do it? Man, talk about tribulation. And the Lord, his grace is sufficient for them. I know they get through it somehow. But man, it takes something like that for me to realize how good God's been to me. So give thanks. You know, no matter how bad you have it, there's someone that has it worse. No matter who you are. I have diabetes. Well, big whoop. I don't have cancer. I can still eat. I'm not, name off tons of other stuff that other people have health problems with. Considerably, this is I'm in a minor medical state. It's not that big of a deal. So give thanks. I could be a lot worse. We need to give thanks. And this is on a personal note, but we need to give thanks because you realize that you do deserve worse than what you have. Even as a saved man, and even though raised in a Christian home, and so I may not have gotten into some things that other people in this room have, but I know I deserve way worse than what I've gotten. Dr. Uckman sowed years and years and years of just hard life. You guys know his background story. And man, he just says every time he would reap something, man, a ship went out, and he knows that ship is going to have to come back in. But he said throughout his Christian life, he knows for a fact that some of those ships just the Lord saw fit to never come back in. You got to give thanks for that, because you know, no matter how bad you have it right now, you know you deserve worse than this. You know, if you don't know that, you don't know yourself. You don't truly know yourself according to the Bible. You've never taken a look in this mirror. You deserve it way worse than you have it right now. And like I said earlier, Romans 2:4, the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. You guys ought to know that. You ought to know that sometimes I stop and it's been a while since, you know, I'm not necessarily a crier. I don't think you should cry at the drop of a hat just to show emotion. But if you haven't cried over a sin or haven't cried over something or a soul, I think there's something wrong with you. I think that if you can cry over a movie or cry over a football game and you can't cry over spiritual things, there's something dead wrong with you. And you should be able to realize, sometimes I'm driving down the road or really any time and I think about how good God's been to me. And man, that ought to bring you to tears. You ought to thank God, the goodness of God. And sometimes I'll be driving on the road or something because that's when I have the most time to think. I think about how good God's been to me. And then he says, yeah, I have been good to you, haven't I? He says, now what about this? And he points out something in my life and like, wow, man, I didn't even realize that and you've still been good to me. And that should lead you to repentance, is the fact that you know what you deserve, but yet through that all, God's still been good to you. You ought to give thanks because you know that you deserve a lot worse than you're getting right now, even since you've been saved. I was talking about how you ought to give thanks because it's temporary. That's probably the thing that scares me the most about hell. Not scares me because I'm going, because I can't, because I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, but probably the worst thing about hell is not, I wouldn't say it's the fire. I wouldn't say it's the blackness. I wouldn't say it's the pain. I would say that it's eternity. You think about a torment that's forever. Look, guys, I don't want to be hung. I don't want to be tortured. But if that ever happened, you know it's going to be over in a couple minutes. You can bear it. But man, a place called hell, where there's fire and brimstone, there's weeping, wailing, gnashing of teeth, and it doesn't stop. 10 billion years from now, it doesn't stop. There's no relief. The only relief they're ever going to get is when they get called up to the great white throne judgment. And all that, and their heart's going to be pounding, maybe I'm out of purgatory now. And says, all right, your name's not in the book? All right, back in there. Throw them back into the lake of fire. And then for eternity, that ought to scare you into witnessing to somebody. If that's what it takes, and that's a pitiful reason, because we ought to do it out of love for the Lord, but if that's what it takes for us to witness to people, then do it. I told people a long time ago that sometimes I'm so pitiful that I have to almost imagine them burning in hell forever in order for me to give them a track. Why is it so hard for my flesh? Because I can't see them burning in hell. Give thanks to God for his mercy, because everything that we're going through right here, if you're a Christian, everything right now is just temporary. A Christian, the closest he will ever get to hell is living on earth. So give thanks to God. You know, the last person, the closest he's ever going to get to heaven is this earth. You know, it just goes downhill from here. It's humanistic, I know, but looking at a drunkard or looking at someone who has a rough life and thinking, man, they have a rough life as it is, but then after this, they're going to die and go to hell. Man, I could have a worse day than them, but hey, in the end of the day, I'm going to go to heaven. And in everything, we ought to give thanks. Man, Christians ought to be the most thankful people in this world. And I'll get to that a little later on. But man, guys, we have a lot to be thankful for. And so far we've been talking about giving thanks in bad situations. I want to throw a disclaimer out there. After I've said all this, giving thanks is not lip service. And the reason I say that is because I got in the habit of, you know, they said, you know, if you smash your hammer, you know, smash your thumb with your hammer, praise the Lord, you know, get in the habit of saying that. So, you know, I'm at work, I'm like, praise the Lord, and just kind of go through it. Hey, make a habit of it. It's worked. It's kept me from saying something I shouldn't say. But just saying the words praise the Lord is not giving thanks. I can say praise the Lord all I want, but unless I truly am thankful, it's kind of like saying a prayer for salvation. Just saying the prayer is not going to get you saved. If thou shalt confess with the mouth and believe in thine heart that God hath risen from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And so I just want to say that giving thanks is not just lip service, it's a true appreciation. You say, well, how am I supposed to give thanks to God that I smashed my thumb? Well, it could be worse. It could have been a nail gun. Could have been something a lot worse than that. Thankfully, you have a thumb. You know, there's people that were born without thumbs. Thank you that my nerve endings still work, that I can tell when I'm getting hurt so I don't keep smashing the same thumb over and over. You know, give thanks. He sounds dumb, but really, guys, you have a thumb? All right, thank God that when next time you smash it. You know, if your car goes, think about this one. Your tire goes flat. Man, I can't believe, you know. Well, you have a car, right? We'll give thanks. Man, thank God that I at least have a car. I don't have to walk to work every day. Give thanks. And everything, give thanks. You don't have to say, Lord, I'm so thankful that you gave me this flat tire. Now, you can say that, and if you can mean that, great. But, hey, in every scenario, give thanks. Thank you, Lord. You gave me this flat tire. I thank you that I at least have a car and that no one was hurt in the process. You know, you get in a car wreck. Well, thank you that I'm still alive. Thank you that you spared me and you gave me safety. Someone dies in your family that's saved. Well, I'm not thankful they died because I'm going to miss them, but I'm thankful they're in heaven. I'm thankful for that blessed hope that I'm going to see them again. I learned this from my dad. We went up to the cabin probably 2 years ago or so, and when I got up there, a water pipe had frozen and had busted, so there's water everywhere. Well, you got to take the shower out. You got to do a bunch of stuff. It's not just like there's a turn valve that you can get in there and splice it or anything. You got to tear a bunch of stuff out, take some paneling off. Like, this is a pretty big ordeal, and all we were going to do is go up there and build an addition. So we get up there, and there's water everywhere. Man, talk about, I don't want to give thanks for that. You know, you're up there, and you're, I got this, God, I'm going to try to get this addition built. This is the time frame. I only have these guys for 40-some hours, whatever. I don't have that much time to do this, and now we have this. And, you know, so my dad, I could hear a little bit of the frustration over the phone when I was talking to him, and then he gets up there, and he's all happy. I'm like, what happened to you? He's like, oh, well, I just got thinking about it. He's like, I have a cabin to be able to come and work on. Most people don't even have a cabin. And here I'm going to complain because my cabin has a water leak. Some people don't even have a roof over their heads, and I've got a roof over my head and another place if I want to, like 2 hours away that I can go stay if I really want to. And I'm going to complain because something in there went wrong. That's kind of dumb if you think about it. That's very American of us to have to, you know, like I said, the whole car thing, my tire went flat. Well, you have a car. Thousands and millions of people don't have cars. So give thanks. And everything, give thanks. I think we ought to go through our prayer book and maybe once a week or something, go through, instead of asking prayer for all of them, go through the old prayer requests and thank God for the prayers he has answered. Because many times, self-included, many times I'll ask for an unspoken, and weeks later, someone will come up to me like, hey, brother, how's that unspoken going? Oh, yeah, I forgot I had that. Oh, yeah, no, it's good. You know, we don't even think to thank God for it. God just kind of resolves it, and it goes in the background, and he takes care of it. Now that problem's gone, we forget we even had a problem, and we don't give him thanks. How many unspokens have we mentioned, and just, you know, it's something that, quote-unquote, minor, but could turn into something major, and God just says, all right, I'll just take care of it. He puts it in the background. He just makes nothing of the situation, and we just completely forget about it. Well, you ought to give thanks for that. God deserves thanks. He's the one that's controlling the scenarios. You can go through your prayer list. Just a couple of people I picked out that you can go through your prayer list and thank God for. Jenny. She's doing well. She's making it. You know, a lot of widows now by this time would be having a real hard time with it. And it is hard for her. She struggles with it. But she's doing well. The Lord's comforting her. You ought to give thanks for that. Brother Pearson, I'm glad to see him here this morning. Man, a heart attack. Give thanks for that. We had him on our prayer list. We're praying for it. Okay, the Lord's answered our prayer. Well, give thanks. You know, we go through, I always have a habit of, you know, you always go through the same, that recent week. I think you should go back a couple weeks and see what the Lord has answered. And I think we should have part of, you know, I'm totally fine with the way we do prayer requests here. But, you know, I think there's a lot more answered prayers that could be mentioned that aren't. And we ought to give thanks for that. And the Lord deserves that. In 1 Thessalonians 5, turn back there, the text we started off with. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And I want to point out that in verse 18 it says, then everything give thanks, but look at what it's in context with. Verse 17, pray without ceasing. Then it says, and everything give thanks. And that's why I said that about the prayer book, is because our prayer life is really, truly pitiful. Not only because we don't spend enough time in prayer, Because half of our prayer is, Lord, I want, I need this. And it's not, thank you for what you have done for me. You know, I think it's good to take a break and just, Lord, I'm not going to ask anything this time. I just want to thank you for what you've done for me. And then just have that be your prayer. And now, like I said, the Lord loves to hear from his children. So I'm not saying don't ask for stuff, because he wants, if you don't ask, how can he, you know, answer your prayer? So I'm not saying that. But I am saying, once in a while, you ought to just take some time and say, now, Lord, I don't want to ask for anything for myself. And if there is a prayer request I want for myself, it's for you to get glory out of my life today. Now, I want to thank you for some things. And everything, give thanks. So we ought to give thanks for every bad situation. Now, the thing that caught my eye and got me thinking about this was that 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks. And immediately we think, all right, every bad situation. Why is it in every bad situation? Do you have more bad situations than good situations? We have more good situations. So we should be thinking, in every good situation, give thanks. Well, why do we say it? Why do we automatically think, oh man, in every trial that I go through, give thanks? We're not going through that many trials. To be honest, I understand, guys. You guys are going through probably some stuff that I'm not going through. You guys are going through some legitimate problems. I'm not downgrading that at all, okay? So I'm going to throw that out there. But in the main, we have a lot more to be thankful for of the good than it is for us to give thanks in the bad. That verse we had to read, in everything give thanks. Man, God, you've been good to me. Now let me thank you for some stuff. Not just, I got a flat tire, so I got to give you thanks because verse 18 says so. We ought to read it as, Lord, you've been good to me. And everything, give thanks. Think about being born in America. I'm not one of those, Trump's going to bring the world together, and if he does, it's going to be for the wrong reason. But I'm not one of those type of Americans, but I am thankful to be born in America. I could have been born in a third world country, and we'll get to the spiritual blessings later. But guys, think about this physically, is that America might be rotten, but you're still blessed. You're still blessed to be born here, okay? As rotten as situations as you guys might get in here, you're still blessed to be born here. You're still blessed to have the freedoms that you still do have. I know they're being taken away, but at this point, we still have the freedom to go out there on the street corner. And, okay, they might try to limit you, but you can still go out, pass out tracts and witness. Who in the last month has gotten stopped from trying to witness to somebody? I mean, like, forcefully stopped. Who this morning was stopped and was restrained from coming here this morning? Nobody. You know, there's places around the world where they have to, the Christoffersons, they have to go in secret and kind of, they have to organize this whole thing. Why? Because the Chinese people, the communist country, they hate that stuff. It's illegal. There might be a time where it comes illegal in this country, but hey guys, until then, give thanks. You're still in a land that this is not an America promotion. I'm just telling you guys, you ought to be thankful for the freedoms that you still do have to go out and witness. Go to the state fair. There's nothing illegal about what we did. And if there was, okay, maybe we might have to have some discretion. But until this point, you can legally go up to someone and say, hey, can I tell you about my Savior? Can I give you a gospel tract? And you can go out on a street corner and preach. Well, you ought to give thanks to that. Instead of getting mad at the next guy that yells you, reams you out on the doorstep or reams you out for street preaching on the street, say, well, thank you, God, that I can still do this. You know, that guy, he's not even, like it was said on Wednesday, I believe it was, that he's not even upset at me. Really, he's upset at you. So I got nothing to be ashamed about. How many this morning, and I did not, but how many this morning to thank God for hot water? Yeah, you say you're getting kind of, minimal here. You're getting kind of, well, I don't know. Go to a third world country, take a cold bath, then come back and tell me that. You know, spend a few weeks over there. I was snow plowing with Brian a year or two ago. Man, after 14, 16 hours, I just want a warm shower. I mean, I want it steaming. I want it to be a sauna in there. And I just want it to, I want to soak in. Why? Because I'm cold. I'm uncomfortable. Would you thank God for that? Brother Donovan went to Malawi. And he said there they didn't have hot water. He said, I never used to thank God for hot water. He says, now, after a couple weeks of not having a warm shower, always being freezing, having to like jump in, jump out kind of thing, he said, now every time I turn that knob, I thank God for hot water. You say, that's kind of minor. Well, like I said, go to Malawi. Talk to me then, all right? But do you thank God for that? Another thing he experienced in Malawi is that and an advantage we have is the medical advantages. You say you're getting, like I said, I'm getting kind of carnal here, but these are still things that we ought to, and everything give thanks. Okay, well, we have medical advantages. In other countries, I would be dead. They don't have insulin. Well, thank God I'm born in America where they have medical advances where I can get some help and I can live a normal life. There's a lot of problems with, you know, my little brother. Maybe 30 years ago, they wouldn't have been able to perform the surgery at birth. Well, give thanks that he's still with us. Because 30 years ago, this would not, I would not have a little brother. Well, give thanks that they have the technology to do that. And you say, well, technology is bad. It draws people away from God. I know it does. But as a Christian, if you can give thanks for those things and keep it in the right perspective, I think the Lord deserves thanks for and be appreciative of those things. But talking about the medical advances, he went to Malawi and he brought some with him, you know, one of those first aid kits. So he had, you know, some alcohol and antiseptics and whatnot. And this guy had a pain in his shoulder just all day, just hurting and hurting and hurting. And he's like, hey, brother, do you mind coming here? So he, like, just peels back his shirt a little bit, and there's just this thing pussing. I'm not trying to be gross here this morning, but he got some antiseptic out and some cleaner, and he poked that thing, and worms came out. You see, that's just, yeah, I know, because they don't have the medical advances. You know, in America, we would never let it to get to that point. Why? Because we're spoiled, and we don't give thanks. You stand in the stereotype for a doctor's office is you're a patient, right? So you're supposed to be patient, stand there for a long time. Look, guys, you're standing in a line to get something taken care of that over in a third world country, they would just have to deal with. They would just have to have that toothache hurt and hurt and hurt till finally the tooth falls out, the nerve ending, gets so seared that you can't feel your tooth anymore, and they just live like that, guys. They would be happy to stand days in front of a doctor's office to be able to get that thing fixed. So in everything, give thanks. Next time you're in a doctor's office waiting an hour for your appointment, well, give thanks that you're able to be there and you're able to get someone that knows what they're doing, and you don't have to be, in some hut somewhere where you're just going to have to live with it and have worms crumble out of your shoulders in a couple months. So give thanks. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God. You know, we have some pretty comfortable homes. We, my wife and I live in an apartment, and we were praying about buying a house, and the Lord just kind of showed us that that wasn't the timing right now. But if you really think about it, it's like, man, we still have a roof over our heads. We got a nice place. You know, we're not living in some hut somewhere. We've never had leaks. We never had having food and raiment let us be there with content. We've got a good place to stay. You know why you guys are sitting on pews this morning in soft chairs? Because we don't want your little butts to get sore. And that's the truth. That's why they changed from wood to sitting on soft chairs, is because we want to be comfortable. Wait, give thanks. I'm not trying to just be funny about it, but really, guys, give thanks. I mean, we got somewhere comfortable to stay. We have AC. Last night, I couldn't get to sleep. So know what I did? I'm an American. So I go to the thermostat. It said 73. 73. Boop. And went back to bed. We'll give thanks. Guess what? In 15 minutes, I was asleep. We'll give thanks. Other countries, man, you're going to be India. A lot of people don't have AC there. You're going to 90 and muggy, and you're just going to have to sleep like that. Just sure, to get a fan on you, but do you give thanks? Do you guys realize that, like I said, I'm not trying to be funny. This is just some of the stuff that came to mind, which is kind of scary. But you guys realize you guys have a bathroom inside your house. You see, that sounds dumb. Well, okay, go back to the 1800s where you have to go to an outhouse, and maybe you might thank God in Minnesota that you have a toilet in your house. But hey, give thanks. You guys, there's a lot more that you can give thanks for. I'm just picking out some stuff that I normally forget about, okay, that you just take for granted every day. But in everything, give thanks. The freedom to freely gather. I already mentioned this one, but no one got stopped from coming here this morning. No one got stopped trying to open a Bible to someone on the street and witness to them. No one got stopped in the visitation. You know, we've even had cops come up to us in visitations because a neighbor called and, say, oh, you can't do this, and you got to be respectful, you know, wise as serpents and harmless as doves, and you respectfully ask them. And every time we've run into that, they've said, oh, no, actually, what you're doing is fine. You're okay to do this. You don't need a license, blah, blah, blah. Well, give thanks for that. There's places where it's legitimately illegal to do that. So give thanks. And you know when you guys are going to be, when we're going to be thankful is when that privilege is taken away. And then we'll be thankful. But the Bible doesn't say that. It says that in everything, give thanks. While we have it good, give thanks. All right, so we got the carnal stuff out of the way. Now, we of all people have been blessed spiritually. And I could turn to, I was looking at verses for this last night. And man, literally anywhere where Paul writes, I just, oh, that verse would work. And just because there's so much to be thankful for. This list is inexhaustive. I got like four or five things here, but literally you could do 20, 30, 40 things because there's so much stuff in here. Know how much we've been blessed? Turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1. Colossians 1 verse 12. Giving thanks unto God, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. You guys know what happened at salvation. I realize that you know it, okay? But how thankful are we? You realize that it says that we were in bondage in the power of darkness, and he translated us to the power of his dear Son. We were made like Jesus, unto Jesus Christ. We were made heirs of him. Ephesians chapter 1. You ought to be thankful. Now this is rudimentary, but don't overlook that you should be thankful for salvation. Because we were born in the age of grace, and so we're so used to it that we sometimes forget that there was a time where it wasn't like this. Ephesians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God of and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us in the adoption of the children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. You realize we've been made heirs of God. We get to when we got saved, we did not only get in the line of Peter, James, and John. We are in the heritage of the Apostle Paul. We also got placed in a Jew's heritage, which is Abraham, David, Elijah, Jacob, all those people. And not only that, but we also got put in line with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We got put in line. There's a song that says, I'm a child of the King. His royal blood now flows through my veins. Man, well, guys, we've been placed an heir to the King of Kings. Man, if you even had an... You know, this is kind of off subject, but a little related. We're talking about bloodlines. You realize that, you know, everyone... I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was a kick or something, but, you know, oh, how much Indian... Oh, I'm like 2% Indian, you know? It's like... Okay, like, I don't know, back in high school, everyone was making a big deal about it, because, like, that was the thing, and so, like, some guy was, like, 15% Indian, like, oh, that's awesome, and, like, if you even have, like, a percentage, like, my great-great-great-grandfather's aunt, who was once removed from my cousin, they were Indian, and it's like, okay, but even with the royal bloodline, guys, you guys think about, you know, people try to trace their bloodlines back to royal blood. Okay, say I had 2% Queen Victorian's blood in me. Okay. But, guys, think about this. You have 100% of God's blood, not physically, but spiritually speaking, you are an heir to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Give thanks. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God. We ought to be a thankful people. Romans chapter 5. I just want to brag on him a little bit because he's been good, and we have much to give thanks. Romans chapter 5, verse 6. And when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. That's me. I'm found at the last word of verse 6. He died for me. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You guys realize that he didn't just die for people that were good to him. He died for people that were whipping him on the cross. The very people that ripped his beard and cursed his name, he died for them. They didn't take the gift, but he died for them. While we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for us. Now, this might be an odd verse to go to, but Ezekiel chapter 16, I want to show you how pitiful we were when Christ found us. Now, Ezekiel 16 is talking about Israel here, so I realize that, but I'm sure you can agree that this is where we were as well. Ezekiel 16, verse 1, again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations, and say, Thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, Thy birth and thy nativity is in the land of Canaan, thy father was an Amorite, and thy mother was a Hittite. Okay, verse 4. And as for thy nativity, in the day that thou wast born, thy navel was not cut. Neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all. Thou swallowed not. Swaddled at all. None I pitied thee to do any of these unto thee, to have compassion unto thee. But thou wast cast out in the open field to the loathing of thy person in the day that thou wast born. Look at that, guys. Verse 4. I know I stumbled through it, but man, you guys, we were so pitiful. As for thy nativity in the day that thou wast born, thy navel was not cut. Guys, we were so cast out that spiritually when we were born, think about a baby that was born and so unloved, so uncared for, they didn't even bother to cut the umbilical cord. Look at verse 6. This is us. And then on top of that, we were cast into an open field. Now look, guys, a baby that hasn't even had his umbilical cord cut, thrown into an open field, is helpless. That's a helpless child. But here comes Christ. Verse 6, And when I passed by thee, and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, When thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, When thou wast in thy blood, live. Guys, he didn't come to us when we were all nice, neat, and respectable. He came to us when we were just a babe that had nothing to offer him. We were not swaddled. No one cared for us. We didn't have anything to offer him. It says, polluted in our own blood and our nativity. It says that he said unto us, live. You mean you're going to come to me and you're going to ask for me to live? God, I got nothing to offer you. He said, well, I say unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. You ought to give thanks to God for his mercy. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew 10 and verse 5. You ought to be thankful that that Matthew does not end with Matthew 10 verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not to the way of the Gentiles, into the city of the Samaritans enter ye not. Aren't you thankful that that's not the last verse in Matthew? Matthew chapter 12. Matthew 12, verse 18. Behold my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, a smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory. And in the name shall the Gentiles trust. Aren't you glad that goes around? And now I'm not thankful necessarily that the Jews rejected him, but aren't you glad you got in on a quote-unquote plan B? People, you know, every time they read the Bible, they think it's always about them, and that's how there's incorrect doctrine in the churches. But guys, there's plenty in this book, and there's plenty of blessings for someone who got in on a plan B, that we don't need to take Israel's promises. We've been plenty blessed on a quote-unquote plan B, to where Christ said, okay, you won't have me, all right, Gentiles, here we go. You realize that, you know, someone who has some pride as being an American, you realize you're a Gentile. You're not really supposed to be the chosen of God. You weren't God's first choice. You know, the Jews rejected him, so as a second option, God says, all right, now go to the Gentiles. So we got in, not because we had something to offer him. Actually, we got in the opposite, because the people that he wanted to fellowship with him wouldn't have him, and they rejected him. So we got in. Well, bless God, thank the Lord that we got in because of the Jews' rejection. God didn't have to do that. But he desires fellowship with us, and which is a mystery to me. But give thanks for salvation. Give thanks for a heritage. I already mentioned that in, I believe it was Ephesians 6, where it says that we are made partakers. I'm going to turn there because I'm going to mess it up. Ephesians 1, I believe it's Ephesians 1, 6. Ephesians 1, 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Like I was talking about earlier, we got placed in the heritage of Peter, James, and John. Not only David, Elijah, and all those people, but we became an heir of the Son of God. The dirtiest of us all, the one who has nothing clean on him. If there's anything about human nature, is that we are filthy. There's nothing pure in us. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? The things which I would do that I can't, the things that I can do that I do. Who's going to deliver from me this? Paul was talking about, man, that struggle that is in me. There's nothing pure in me. I'm trying to think of the specific verse I'm thinking of. But he's that constant battle of the flesh. And you ought to thank God that he put a spirit in you to make you alive, and that you know it's not just the flesh you have to follow after. You've been placed in the heritage of God. This dirty flesh inside of me is the most pure person that has ever lived. The only thing that is truly pure. The sun is filthy in God's sight. But yet that holy God is going to come in this dead carcass, and he says unto me, live. When I was still in my blood, it says in my nativity. He's going to come into this dirty soul, and he's going to make it alive. And I don't have to do anything with it. I just have to ask him to be my Savior. You got to give thanks that we're... Here's nothing. You got to give thanks for being born under grace. You know, there's people that... It wasn't... Salvation now is easy, and we know that. But there's a time it wasn't easy. You guys should read through, you know, Exodus and all those books that people say are boring. Well, read through, if nothing else, for appreciation that you don't have to go through that. There are, man, Daniel was laying out the tabernacle the other night, and just, you have this many knops on this one, and if you, you know, let this set out for this long, you can't do that, and this incense has to be burned on this day, but there's a different type of sheep that you need for this sin offering, and just all this stuff that you had to go through. And then if the priest was not pure, then he would, you know, God could kill him in the holiest of all. And we just have to say, Lord, I believe on you. I want to take, you took my place on Calvary. And all you have to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Bypass going through the altar and going through the sacrifices, going through all that ritual, and bypass all that. And all you have to do is say, Lord, I'm sorry. I want to accept your son as my Savior. It's done. You ought to give thanks that salvation was so easy, that you were not born under the law. Romans 6:14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. When was the last time we stopped and thanked God that we were under grace? And it's, I got to end with this one, but like I said, I'm saying all this stuff, and you guys know this stuff. You guys, we're in a Bible-believing church, you guys realize this, but sometimes we don't stop to truly, truly, truly thank God. You ought to thank God for a book, not only a book, but the very words of God, and not only the very words of God, but the very words of God in your language. You can read it. Say what you want about Spanish Bibles, German Bibles. I don't speak Spanish or German. I speak English. The English Bible is perfect. God gave us his words in our own language. Don't get all off on other translations. If you speak that language, okay, that's one thing. But except for Bryce, I don't know of anyone that speaks more than one language in here. We have God's word in our own language. We have no excuse. Aren't you glad for a book that can guide you? I was talking about how the Holy Spirit comes in you, something that is pure and goes inside this dirty flesh. You realize that out of everything in this world, everything, now even to us some stuff is impure, but to a holy God, this world is absolutely filth. But we get to hold in our hands something that is perfectly pure. There's no blemish in it, and we get to hold it. There's people that throw it aside and ignore it. Guys, we're holding the very words of God in our hands. You realize how deep this book is? Now, if you guys are here like Wednesday nights in Sunday school, for when pastor's here and he goes through and shows you how deep, or really any message that he preaches, you guys can see how deep this is. But you realize I have marked in my Bible a couple passages to where I've heard 3, 4, 5 different messages with different outlines and everything from the same exact verse. And it got completely different stuff from it. I've heard this verse, you know, I'll read a verse, for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I heard a message on that that I had never thought of before. Do you know how many, almost everyone in America knows that verse, or if not part of that verse, and yet you know it so well, and then the Lord just digs down a little deeper in the word and gives you something. Do you realize how deep that book is? You go to Moby Dick or some other author and you can't get that out of him. You read it once, twice, like, okay, whatever, good book. You go through this thing every single time. If you don't get something through the word of God each time you go through the Bible, you're missing something. It's deep. You realize, okay, think about this. The Bible has been out for how many years? 400 years, the King James Bible at least. Okay. How many well-meaning Christians have gone through, people like Dr. Ockman, those, how many of those people have gone through the book? And now, so here's the beginning of the race. You go through Luther. Okay, Luther got this thing figured out. Okay, from there, the next person got to go. All right, now he got this figured out. And all the way down through the line, we don't have to start from scratch. We've already got some other people's studies. Okay, this is what we've already figured out. All right, this is what the Bible means. This is the doctrine. So we're already starting. The baton's already been passed off way up here. We don't have to start way back with Luther, not knowing what the difference between grace and law is. We're way up here. And still, there's so much in the Bible that we still get something out of it every single day. There's still new material coming out. This book has been read for 400 years by millions of people. And we're still finding out stuff that you might read something that no one else in this room has ever seen before. And it's not that just pastor has to see it or someone that's teaching has to see it. You personally, in your own Bible reading, can see something that no one else has ever seen before. You got to thank God that this is more than just a normal author writing this book, that God himself wrote this book. And you know it not only because of all the proof, but also just because of the fact of how deep it is. No one can write a book like this. No one can interweave everything. No one can write a book to where when you read that book, it straightens out your life. That can't be written by man. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We ought to be a thankful people. And I got to close, but there's so much more stuff that we could go through. You know, we could go through, you know, giving them thanks for just a reason and a purpose to live. What about a song to sing? I hate country music. I hate it, man. I was down in Florida, and the reason I hate it so much is because, there's a lot of reasons, but the main reason is because that stuff, to me, I don't know how you guys are, maybe you guys are different, but for me, that stuff gets stuck in my head, and those stupid lyrics are rolling around in my head and just kind of bopping around, and, man, but they would have that, it's called Cat Country, so they'd have that on 8 hours a day. Literally, I would hear the same song 5 times in one day. Seriously, that's all you have to sing about? Beer, girls, and trucks? That's literally all they have. And it's not just country music. I'm just saying that's the one that gets me. But guys, we got something to sing about. We're not coming here singing about some dumb truck or a girlfriend that dumped us and so we got ourselves drunk. Man, every time I pick out hymns, there's like, man, which song do we sing? They're not, none of them are even the same. They're all singing different aspects about, some are about the book, some are about salvation, some are about God, and each one of those has millions of songs. You guys go through not only our hymnal, but there's hundreds of hymnals. Guys, we've got an endless selection. I listen to music all day long a lot of times when I'm at work, and I have rarely heard the same song twice in a month. And they're all just, because we've got something to sing about. That's proof right there that we're not singing the same song over and over. We ought to thank God we've got something to sing about. So I'll close there and have a word of prayer, and then you guys can be dismissed. But just remember, in everything, give thanks, not just the bad, but we ought to give thanks for all the good. There's plenty. This could have gone on for 6 weeks on a study of all that we have to be thankful for. But let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll be dismissed. We do thank you, Father, for this book. And I pray that it wouldn't be lip service, that we truly be thankful for how good you've been to us. And there could be a day when a lot of these freedoms and the physical book is taken from our hands, and we will have wished that we would have applied more of it to our lives, and that we would have taken this roadmap that you've given to us and really brought it home. So I pray that you'd help us to be truly thankful for all that you've done for us. And if there's anyone in this world, the people in this room specifically, have so much to be thankful for. And I pray that you just help us and remind us of all the good that you've done for us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.